You knew Joe Biden was going to come after your guns. The difference between Joe Biden and even Barack Obama is Joe Biden has decided, I'll come after your guns without passing any legislation at all. At least Barack Obama understood that you have to pass laws. Joe Biden says, the hell with that. We'll do whatever we want to do through executive order, through executive action, through signing a piece of paper that was passed by no one. And that is exactly what Joe Biden is now doing to our right to bear arms, which, by the way, says in the Constitution, shall not be infringed. So forget what he says. Let me tell you what he's actually doing. All right? This is what matters. What is he actually doing? Not what he's selling, what he's actually doing. Biden announcing these gun control measures is basically coming out and saying two different things that you need to understand. One, we don't have the votes needed to pass actual gun control laws in the Senate or the House, specifically probably more the Senate. So I'm going to tell you what needs to be done since they won't do it. The president has several initiatives that he says he's going to achieve through a mix of executive and legislative action. Biden is now calling on the Department of Justice to issue proposed rules to stop the proliferation of so-called ghost guns within 30 days. Now, ghost guns, which is what you're now supposed to be afraid of, refer to kits that allow the recipient to assemble the firearm using provided parts. These guns do not have commercial serial numbers and are difficult to track. Now, you can do what he's doing here, and it's not really going to matter that much, and let me explain why. You can build a ghost gun. It's on the internet. It's not hard to find. It's very easy. You can do this. And even if you outlaw it, and many ghost guns are already outlawed, and they're overlooking, of course, that, and the reality of that, it is illegal for me to build illegal guns, right? It's a felony to do that. But the president of the United States of America is going, no, 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 you don't understand. I'm going to really make it official now, which is redundant, basically. And this is also about fear-mongering you, implying that there's a bunch of guns out there that are these ghost guns that we'll never know about, so we're going to outlaw them, thinking, and somehow criminals are going to stop doing this criminal behavior. They're not. Now, the Justice Department will be given 60 days, they say, to issue a separate rule on stabilizing braces, which can turn a pistol into a more accurate weapon that fires like a rifle. Let me explain to you why you should be concerned about this rule from Biden. There are a lot of people that have handicaps in this country, a lot of people in this country that are elderly, that have the right to protect and defend themselves. And many of them use these stabilizing braces so that they can protect and defend themselves in their homes, especially those that are handicapped, those that are elderly, those that are weaker, those that maybe you're fighting cancer and things like that where they don't have the normal strength or they have immune issues, deficiencies. These stabilizing braces help these people be able to accurately shoot a weapon and protect themselves. What we're trying to do through the Biden ruling now and the Justice Department is say that these are somehow evil. Now, let's be clear. If you're going to use a stabilizing brace, you're going to use it regardless of what the law says if you're going to commit heinous crimes. All you're doing is taking away the rights of handicapped individuals and people that need a stabilizing brace to protect and defend themselves. You're now going to turn them into felons if they continue to use these braces. Quote, 60 days will also be provided for the DOJ to develop model red flag legislation that would allow friends and family members to identify an individual as a potential danger, thereby temporarily preventing the person from accessing a firearm. All of you listening to me right now should be terrified of this one. This is the one that concerns me the most. Let me explain to you why. Let's say that you are going through a divorce and you want to screw with your soon-to-be ex. You can turn them in saying they're unstable and they deserve to have their guns taken away. Let's say that you are at work and somebody that works for you, or you fire somebody and they really, you know, you're angry and you're hacked off and you want to get a little bit of revenge and you know they're a big Second Amendment person. You could call the police and you could say, I want to report a red flag on this person who I hate. You may not even know the person, or you may know them well and you just want to, and you hate them, right? It could be just flat out bullying. This should concern everybody. Maybe you're in a family war over an estate and you want to screw with somebody over the guns in the estate. You could now red flag one another, the brother, the sister, the cousin, whatever it is, the aunt, uncle that you hate, and say they shouldn't have these guns because I believe they're emotionally unstable. This also is another problem, because if you are emotionally unstable, or maybe you need mental health help, maybe you are bipolar, manic depressant, you're probably going to be more paranoid to go get help now, because you now know that friends or fake friends or exes or family members can then identify you as a potential danger and take away your right to protect and defend yourself. Now, you shouldn't lose your right to protect and defend yourself because you are depressed. You shouldn't lose your right to protect and defend yourself because you seek mental health. Now, I am okay that if you are committed against your will by a judge in a court, for you to temporarily lose the ability to have a firearm or to go purchase a firearm if you are committed against your will. But if you are seeking mental health on your own, it should not then make you more vulnerable to criminals in society. When someone tries to rape someone, they don't care if you're bipolar. They don't care if you're depressed. They don't care if you're manic. When someone kicks in your back door, they don't check a database to move on to the next house because they know you can't defend yourself because you are depressed or you are bipolar or you have some sort of PTSD or mental health issue that we need to very much normalize in this country. They don't do that. So you should not lose your right to protect and defend yourself because there's a family member that maybe is just anti-gun. It could be as simple as that. Maybe there's a neighbor that doesn't like the new person that moved in because they have a bunch of guns. Maybe they disagree with you politically, and so they decide to screw with you. Because when you do this, you can do it anonymously. That's a problem. This red flag executive order is nothing but a total abuse of the power of the president, and he is overstepping it. This should never be allowed to happen through executive action. Yet here we are. But I also want to look at something else that is happening outside of these red flag laws, and I'll get back to more about those in a minute. What we've also learned from the Biden administration now is this. Joe Biden has announced not only the executive order crackdown on guns, but also a new anti-gun ATF director. You should never have a political person in the role of ATF. And I'm talking about political, like pushing a political agenda. You should have someone that is non-political as the ATF director that understands the law of the land and the Constitution. Well, that's just been scrapped. And everybody should be paying attention to this new ATF director. And the media is not covering this. Democrat President Joe Biden also announced something that went like totally unnoticed. That there is a new far left individual, a new director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, who actually is coming from an anti-Second Amendment lobbyist group. In a statement, the administration outlined the following initial actions in his new attack on gun rights. Number one, the Justice Department within 30 days will issue that proposed rule to help stop the proliferation of ghost guns. Number two, the Justice Department within 60 days will issue proposed rules to make clear when a device marked as a stabilizing brace effectively turns a pistol into a short barrel rifle subject to the requirements of the National Firearms Act. So you're going to hurt people, by the way, that are handicapped that need a stabilizing brace more than anybody else. Number three, the Justice Department within 60 days will publish model red flag legislation for states. That is also extremely concerning. All of that is, right? But there's even more to this. The portion of the statement that mentions the stabilizing brace is a reference to AR and AK pistols, which have barrels that are shorter than the minimum 16 inches required by the NFA, National Firearms Act. The statement said the pistols with an arm brace are concealable, quote unquote, which doesn't really mean anything legally speaking and is also laughable to most gun owners since AR pistols are more than 2 feet long. If you're trying to conceal a weapon, it's probably going to be smaller than 2 feet long. The claim that weapons with a pistol brace will be, quote, subject to the requirements of the National Firearms Act means that gun owners will likely be forced now through this new initiative and this anti-gun ATF director to pay a $200 tax stamp on those firearms, which essentially amounts to taxing a group of people who are serious Second Amendment advocates and are largely opponents of Biden and his policies. That's why he's doing this through executive action. We're going to tax you to a point where maybe you can't afford the guns you currently own. That's what they're trying to do with this ruling. The statement said that the administration was, quote, investing in evidence-based community violence intervention in urban communities, turning this into a racial issue. It's not. It's a Second Amendment issue. The administration admitted that cities across the country, which, quote, are largely run by Democrats, are seeing a historic spike in homicides, which follow the push by those Democrats and far-left activists to defund the police. But now they're going to use this rise in violence across the country in these Democratic-run cities that are seeing historic spikes in homicides as the reasoning to now take away your right to bear arms. Which also brings up the basic question. What makes you think the criminals are going to give a crap that you just changed the laws? They're not. They're already breaking the laws, and many of their guns are illegal guns to begin with. You think they give a crap about you adding more laws? They don't. This only affects law-abiding citizens. And what you're doing now is you're trying to figure out ways to arrest and charge law-abiding citizens with crimes. So they'll be afraid, they'll be terrified to go out and buy weapons, to go out and buy firearms. That's what you're doing here. That's all you're doing. You're trying to force law-abiding citizens into submission so that they won't buy weapons that you say they shouldn't have, which is in total violation of our Second Amendment rights that shall not be infringed. The president also highlighted the steps his administration, quote, is taking to invest in community violence intervention and call for the DOJ to issue a firearms trafficking report. The administration officials said, while Biden will make sure that Congress acts, we're going to do what we have to do to close the loopholes and the problems that we have right now, saying, quote, gun violence takes lives and leaves a lasting legacy of trauma in communities every single day in this country, even when it's not on the nightly news. All right, let's talk about hypocrisy in the laws, because part of what the Biden administration is also saying is there are too many gun laws that are not being enforced. And that's part of what he wants to do with the ATF and what he wants to do with government officials is now make sure that these laws are actually followed. All right, well, let's follow the laws and see how that works out for your own family. Because I'm pretty sure that your son lied about drug use in his gun form, which is a felony to get a gun and then lost possession of that gun when his ex-sister-in-law, who was sleeping with, disposed of that gun in a dumpster. Dana Lash, former spokeswoman for the NRA, last night was on Fox talking about this. She was on with a couple other people talking about how absurd it is that Biden is demanding that these gun laws be used to crack down on illegal gun sales when his own son lied on a form that should make him a felon and should go to jail.
This game of circle, and we've got to come to the end of this. Somebody's got to push back in Washington and hold Hunter Biden to account. We know he's lying.
Dana, I assume you probably have heard what I've heard as it relates to what else is on that laptop. Now, if it was anybody with the last name Trump, we would have seen it all by now, would we not have?
No, I think you're right on that, Sean. Absolutely. And yeah, if the last name was Trump on this, my gosh, there's more here to condemn Hunter Biden and at least invite response from the administration, more so than there ever was with the witch hunt that was Russian collusion. I mean, the line on the 4473, you and I would be sitting in a jail cell paying a five-figure fine, looking at a 10-year sentence, Sean, and you know that. Rick would, too. We'd all be sitting in jail right now if we did what he did. He was an addict. He was an addict when he was filling out this form. He was an addict when he apparently Haley Biden stole his gun and deposited it in this very nice gourmet grocery store right across the street from a school, which is, according to apparently current law in that state, considered a Class B misdemeanor for the manner in which it was deposited. But Sean, the bigger thing is here, this is Biden privilege. My gosh, for all of the discussion on white privilege or privilege period, there is no privilege, Sean, like progressive privilege. There's no privilege like that Biden privilege. You can snort Parmesan cheese out of your shag carpet and lose a computer and sign a drop slip for it and still be taken seriously when you say, I don't know, that may have been mine. You can lie on a 4473 and yet you can still then come out with a book right after your dad gets into the White House and go on your rehabilitation tour for your public image. It's that Biden privilege.
By the way, she's right. It is privilege to lie about drugs in your gun form and still come out with a book talking about it and not get charged with a crime. Meanwhile, today, Joe Biden saying we need to use the laws on the book and we need to start enforcing the laws. When people lie and when people get guns and get a gun illegally, we need to prosecute them. Okay, well, then prosecute your son. Please, I beg of you, let's start there. Prosecute your son for lying on his form about his drug use. You've got a president that continues to say we must do this. In fact, his White House communications director, talking about the executive action on guns, says this is something that Biden feels so incredibly powerful about that he says we can't wait to do it. But he won't even use the same logic against his own son lying on his own form about his drug use to get a gun illegally. Well, they're all excited, though, at the White House today. This morning, White House communications director wants you to understand how passionate the president is about protecting Americans from illegal gun purchases and illegal gun sales and making sure we close loopholes, the same loopholes his son violated. Actually, he didn't even violate a loophole. He actually broke the law. No one's charging him with a gun crime.
Idea. That President Biden said recently that it is a matter of timing as to when he passes and looks at gun safety measures when Congress gets to him. Is that an explicit acknowledgement that the White House now considers infrastructure, for example, more pressing since that's what he's putting his political capital behind?
No, I don't think it's a question of what is more urgent. I think it's just a question of how you do many things all at once. And today he's putting forward, he's making these announcements today about these executive actions that he can take within his authority as president that are going to have a real impact on making sure that our communities are safer. And that
how does this make our communities safer? You're only attacking law-abiding citizens. That's what you're doing here. This isn't making our communities safer. And if you want to make our communities safer, then maybe set the example by making sure that your son is treated appropriately, that he is prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law for breaking the gun laws in this country by lying on a federal form, which would make him a convicted felon. Call me old school. Seriously, call me old school on this one. I'm fine with that. Call me old school. You break the law, right? You're going to lecture us about this. You're going to tell me that I've got to do something. Otherwise, and if I did this, I would be prosecuted. If I lied about my drug use, right? If I was some addict out there like he was, and I have compassion for people that are addicts, I hope they get help. But if I did this, game over. I'd be in prison. Why isn't the president's son? He's saying it's an issue of national security. He's saying this is the most important thing he can do in his presidency. He's so passionate about this. All right, be passionate. Be passionate about this. Please be passionate about it. Don't let your son off the hook. Make me believe that you actually aren't full of total crap here. I'm listening. I'm waiting. Come on. Show me leadership that the White House communications director says clearly is so important.
That we're working to prevent these senseless gun deaths moving forward. So, you know, he's somebody throughout his entire career in public service who has been incredibly focused on gun reform. You know, he worked to pass the Brady Bill when he was in the Senate. He worked to pass the assault weapons ban. This is something he feels incredibly powerfully about. And so the actions he's announcing today are the first step. He would be the first to say it's not enough. He believes Congress should move on the bipartisan background bills, background check bills, excuse me, in front of them.
So to recap, you have a president that feels strongly that we need to enforce the laws that we have on the books. We need to expand those laws, and we need to go after people that break our laws. So your son can lie on a form and say he's not addicted to drugs and not doing drugs and get a firearm illegally, which would make him a felon if he was charged. And he can lose possession of the firearm and have it dumped in a dumpster and still nobody gets charged with a gun crime while you demand that all of us get charged with gun crimes if we do the exact same thing. Hypocrisy, my friends. Hypocrisy. And then there's another point that we also need to look at. Everybody should be terrified of his new nominee to serve as the ATF director. Now, the ATF director, the director of the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Enforcement Arm in the United States government is not supposed to be what you refer to as a political appointee. It's supposed to be someone that looks at their job as enforcing the law of the land, not advocating for political opinions. Their job is not to be a politician or to be an activist, maybe the best word I can use. Well, guess what? We've got an activist that has now been put in that position or nominated for that position. An activist that's so much of an activist, David Chipman, that now he has locked his Twitter account, and it looks like he apparently, based on online archives, has it deleted well over 1,000 tweets that were anti-gun. This guy is not just an anti-gun individual. He's actually someone that worked for one of the top two anti-gun groups in America. There are two main anti-gun groups in this country. One is the Brady Campaign. There's another that's kind of under that, like Mothers Against Gun Violence. That's another one, but they're really connected to the Brady Campaign. And then there's another one. That's the Giffords campaign. You may remember Congresswoman Giffords, who was shot in Colorado. She was outside a grocery store doing an event. She got shot. You'll remember that. I have no problem with her being anti-gun. That's her right. Her husband has the right to be anti-gun. That's why you know a freedom is alive and well in this country. We can disagree. What I have a problem with is taking an individual that worked for them, who's clearly anti-gun, a fierce advocate for gun control, and then sticking him as the director of the ATF. He's so anti-gun that he even knows he's got to lock his Twitter account so people cannot see what he has stated publicly. And now he's deleted over 1,000 tweets, what we know from archives, because he's such an anti-gun nut that he knows he'll never get this job if everybody's able to see what he's actually said, what he's actually tweeted publicly, and what he believes in. This is nothing more than an assault on law-abiding citizens. Biden's new actions also go contrary to his pledge to unite this country. You're assaulting tens of millions of keyword law-abiding gun owners and taking away our freedoms, assaulting our freedoms. The administration also renewed their calls as Biden called for banning so-called assault weapons, which is nothing more than a made-up term to terrify people in this country. What is a, quote, assault weapon? It is a semi-automatic long gun. It essentially functions the same way as a pistol, meaning that a shot is fired every time you pull the trigger manually. The administration also again called for Congress to repeal gun manufacturers' immunity from liability. That's a blatant attempt to bankrupt the gun industry so that no one can afford to sell a gun in this country. Let me explain to you how terrifying this rule is. If you take away the immunity from liability from gun manufacturers every single time someone shot with a gun, they know what gun did it, the person who is shot will sue the gun manufacturer. At some point, guns will become so expensive that no one can afford them because of the liability that they have with that gun. I'll give you another example. We have immunity, basically, the same type of immunity when it comes to cars. if I'm in a wreck and someone hits me and they're driving a Mercedes or a Buick or a Honda or a Hyundai or a BMW, I can't sue that company because of the wreck that happened because the actions of an individual driving that car. It's immediately thrown out. What they're now trying to do is they're now trying to say, no, you should be able to sue the gun manufacturer when someone uses that gun and you are hurt or harmed. If you did that with cars, no one could afford to sell you a car because every time someone gets in a wreck, they would sue the manufacturer of the car, even though it has nothing to do with them. This is how you take away people's rights without passing laws. And that's exactly what the Biden administration is trying to do right now. So the answer is yes, you better fight back and you better go to your states and you better go to your governors and you better go to your elected officials and say, stop this now. Fight back now. All right, lastly, please make sure you share this podcast. Take a screenshot of you listening to this podcast and post it on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, as we are still locked out of posting on Facebook as they come after us for telling you the real news that they won't allow to get out in society. Without you guys telling your family and friends about this podcast, it will not grow. And I'm relying solely on you guys to help us grow this podcast. So thank you for sharing this with your family and your friends. I'll see you back here tomorrow.